The Veterans Health Administration might have a problem when it comes to calculating mental health wait times. The Government Accountability Office finds discrepancies between when vets request an appointment with VHA and when those appointments actually happen. Deborah Draper is Director of Healthcare Issues at the Government Accountability Office and recently updating the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee on the problems that her team is finding. Deborah, thanks for coming on the program today. Your testimony to the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee consisted primarily of what message? Thanks for your time, Deborah.
Well, I think that the message is that the way that VA calculates its wait times doesn't necessarily reflect the overall time that veterans are waiting to receive care. So VA uses, they calculate their wait times looking at the veteran's preferred date to the date of their scheduled appointment. And the preferred date is established when a scheduler reaches out to the veteran to discuss what date they prefer to be seen. But we found that for the 100 medical records that we reviewed, this length of time can be quite lengthy because it really doesn't take into account when the veterans initially requested care. So we found that time between the initial request for care and the veteran's preferred date ranged anywhere from 0 to 279 days, which is not included in the VA's wait times.
So let's role play for a second to make sure I understand this, Deborah. You call me, and I work at VA, and you say, I would like to get some care. And I say, terrific. Here are the today's November 2nd.
Right.
Here are the days we can offer you, March 14th or March 28th.
Well, it's really supposed to be based on what the veteran prefers to be when they prefer to be seen. The problem is, like, when a referral or request for care, that may have gone in weeks before a schedule actually reaches out to a veteran. So there's already that period of time that the veteran is waiting to receive care.
Yes. So that's the discrepancy, though, between the time VA's counting it from when the veteran is entered into the system.
Right.
And the actual wait time is, of course, from when the person actually says, I would like to get some help.
Right, that's correct.
What's the reason that you were able to get, if any, from VA as to why they count it that way?
Well, they disagree with their finding, and they thought that the way that we calculated wait times from the veteran's initial request for care until they actually received care, and they felt like that was they disagree with their finding because they said that sometimes our calculations did not capture situations which were out of their control, such as when a veteran wanted to delay care. And while we found that was sometimes true, we also found instances where requests or referrals for care made prior to the establishment of the preferred date were mismanaged or lost in the system.
There's some incredible numbers attached to all of this that you cited in your testimony to the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, Deborah. A 63% increase in the number of veterans receiving mental health care between 05 and 13, $3.9 billion providing outpatient specialty mental health care in VHA facilities, $34 million for outpatient specialty mental health care provided by non-VA providers. What you mentioned what the VA's response to your findings was. What was your takeaway from what the members of the committee wanted you to answer questions that they had for you as far as the work that you've done?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a continuing story about VA wait times overall. And, you know, since the issues that came to light a couple of years ago, we've been looking at this since 1990, GAO has the wait times, but I think since the issues really came to light at the forefront a couple of years ago, there's much more awareness of wait times and work is being done to make improvements. But having said that, there are still continuing problems. I mean, we see unclear and ambiguous policies continue. For example, VA's wait time policy, they have two conflicting policies. One says 14 days. The other says 30 days from when a veteran should receive care. We also find that the wait time data continue to be unreliable, and this is for a number of reasons. The data entry process is prone to error. There's a high turnover among schedulers, and the scheduling system itself is antiquated and doesn't really support good practices. There's inadequate oversight. So there's just a number of issues that we continue to see related to this issue.
Deborah Draper of the Government Accountability Office testifying the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee about wait times for mental health care at the Department of Veterans Affairs. You alluded to the scheduling system being an antiquated system. The House Veterans Affairs Committee has a hearing this week about IT infrastructure at VA. Is that an IT problem, Deborah? The issue that you mentioned with the scheduling system, is that an IT infrastructure problem only, or are there policy problems, in your view, associated with that as well?
Well, they're both. I mean, you have to have a good system to support whatever policies that you put in place. But again, I mean, just to give you an example, the scheduling system was created in the 1980s. It's a DOS-based system. No one uses that anymore. And for a scheduler to really schedule an appointment, you know, they're pulling up multiple screens. There are people lined up at their desk. So it's really hard to do what they need to do. And then what we found, too, is like the example that I gave of conflicting policies, that doesn't really help support good practices either. So it's not just the IT infrastructure, but it is the policies, and it's also the lack of adequate oversight.
You told the committee about some data problems, and we're following on an ongoing basis the data deluge that agencies are dealing with. You told the committee about some compatibility, comparability problems throughout the agency. Tell me about those issues that you ran into, Deborah.
So there are a couple of issues. One that was that the data may not be comparable. This is the wait time data, may not be comparable over time. And this is because the VA has changed the definitions used to calculate certain mental health wait time measures, and they haven't really communicated this information as needed. So there's a lot of confusion in the field as to what those definitions are. We also found that data might not be comparable between VA medical centers, and this is because of a certain type of appointment that some medical centers use. They're called open access appointments, and they're a type of walk-in appointment. So we found at one of the facilities that we visited, they had about 600 people on a manually maintained list, which is against their scheduling policy, and it's really surprising to find considering the issues that came up in Phoenix. Somewhat similar, it wasn't a secret wait list, but it was a list that where people were outside of the system. They were maintained on a manual Excel spreadsheet, and we found that the follow-up for these individuals was inconsistent, and about half of those on the list never presented for care.
That's mind-blowing, I have to say, given exactly what you said, what we learned about the situation in Phoenix. I did detect some good news. This isn't all bad news, Deborah, and I want to call attention to that as well. You testified about the hiring of 5,300 new clinical and non-clinical mental health staff between June of 2012 and December 13. That's the goal of the hiring initiative, but it appears that's not... There's good news there, but it's not all good news because they still don't have enough people to do what they need to do, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, they hired, their hiring has increased over the past few years, but the increase in demand continues to escalate, so they're really having difficulty keeping pace with the increased demand for care.
That difficulty is driven by a couple of factors. You write about and testified about the pay disparity between the private sector and the government, and we've talked about that at great length on this program. Also, the hiring process. The part that strikes me as particularly noteworthy in the hiring issue, though, is the competition you write about among VAMCs. They're looking for the same skill sets, and so they're competing for the same pool of candidates, it sounds like.
Right. They're competing. You know, everyone was trying to hire at the same time, all the VA medical centers, so there's a lot of competition between facilities. I think the other thing that's important to note is there is a nationwide shortage of mental health professionals, and you know, in fact, HRSA estimated that as of July 2015, there were about 4,000 areas designated as having a shortage of mental health professionals, and that about 2,700 additional mental health professionals were needed to fill the need in these areas. So it's not just VA. They're trying to hire folks, but then there's a nationwide shortage. So there's a lot of, it's very complicated and a lot of challenges that they're faced with in hiring personnel.
Well, Deborah, you nailed it at the beginning of the conversation when you said this is a continuing story, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with you as more developments happen. Thanks for coming
Great.
On today, as always.
Thank you very much.